Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generation's team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host. As you guys know, at generations808.com is our website. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you again. As I always remember to thank you guys for telling your friends, your neighbors, the people at church, guys you golf with. It's just something that, a show that I'm very proud of. And I get calls and emails just about every day thanking me and also asking a lot of questions, actually, about aging. And I'm no expert, but I do know a lot about aging. I've done a lot of these radio shows, and that's how I learned, by having guests like Dr. Borman on the show. So actually today, we're going to talk about aging, and more specifically with a geriatrician, and the different aspects of aging. So Dr. Borman, welcome to the show, and thank you for calling in from your office. I know you're very, very busy these days.
Oh, thank you, Percy. It's so wonderful to help educate our community.
Yeah, and that's really the key, what we do. You know, Generations Magazine, our tagline is called Hawaii's Resource for Life. And that's one thing I committed myself 21 years ago when I got into my day job, my reverse mortgage business. But I tell the story all the time that after about a month, 2 months, I really didn't know a whole lot about aging when all my clients were over 62. That's why I had this crazy idea about, we started a television show on Olelo with Dr. Cullen Hayashida. And then we eventually switched over to Today's Kupuna and we started our radio show here. But this is how I learn, and I've always believed, and when I have seen clients, we all have to educate ourselves about aging, but where do you go, right? So this is our show that we do. And so, Dr. Borman, before we get started, can you tell our listenership your background, who you are, where you work, and what do you do every day?
Okay. My background is that I am graduate of George Washington University in Washington, D.C.
Oh, nice.
And then I moved to the Pacific Northwest for my family medicine training. And family medicine has always had a biopsychosocial focus, which means I treat people who have diseases rather than treating diseases that happen in people. So illness always occurs in the context of life. After my family medicine training, I worked in family medicine. I was part of a family medicine residency program, so I've been teaching medicine as well as practicing medicine. And I came out to Hawaii in 2015 for a very specific job that was looking for a geriatrician and palliative medicine specialist. And I'm board certified in both. And it was with a group of neuroscientists, and they asked me to be their director of the Memory Disorder Center. So I had 7 wonderful years learning all about diagnosing and treating dementia, and that's still a huge part of my practice. But I also deal with all types of older people, and I kind of laughed, Percy, when you said 62 years old, because my average age patient is about 85.
Wow.
Average.
That's why you're the expert, and that's why I brought you on here. Fantastic.
Yeah. There's not a lot of geriatricians, so I try to focus on the oldest old, because they're the ones that are really different from our younger old people here in Hawaii.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I saw statistics a while back that for every geriatrician that graduates from college, there are 50 pediatricians that going into, you know, pediatrics. And it's unfortunate. So whenever I see somebody going to medical school, like my nephew's wife right now, I tell him, God, you want to have a rewarding, fulfilling life as a medicine, practicing medicine doctor, get into be geriatrics. And no, she's going to general practice, but it's just something that I learned early on that there's very few geriatricians in the state of Hawaii, let alone in the country. And it's not sad. It's just the reality of aging. You know, everybody wants to talk about kids and, you know, nurturing kids and see the kids grow up, which is fantastic. I mean, I just got back from Boston. I took my son to college for his freshman year in Boston, of all places. I'll tell you about Boston. People in Hawaii should not complain about the roads here. But I'll tell you something, nothing to knock Boston. I love to go Boston. I went to a Red Sox game, but the roads over there, my goodness, my GPS didn't work too good. That GPS thing took me all over the place, except for I wanted to go in a timely manner. If a local probably would have got there in about 25 minutes, seriously, it took me an hour and 20 minutes. This GPS took me all over the place, but I mean, I know I'll be going back to Boston to see my son more often, but just thought I'd toss it out there. But so as a geriatrician, can I ask, were you interested in geriatrics, always interested, or just opportunity to get into the field?
Perry, it was a little bit of both. You know, I started out in family medicine, which used to be called general practice. So it's everything, birth to death. And as I was in the beginning of my career, I did a lot of obstetrics. I've delivered over 1,000 babies. And I love the whole life cycle. But I really fell in love with my work with the elderly. In a sense, they're kind of an underserved population in our country because we're ostriches burying our head in the sand about aging.
Yes.
Nobody wants to talk about it. Oh, yes. It's associated with death. Well, yes, we do all die.
Yep.
So it has really drawn me in. And my work now with the company My Care Plus is all geriatrics.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we wanted to come on, not only being a partner in Generations Magazine, thank you, but to really serve the community. And that's what I call myself. I serve the community. The clients that I work with and their families and counseling them about aging. And yeah, absolutely. Nobody wants to talk about it. You know, it's interesting. I tell this story all the time. I got into this field, the reverse mortgage field, at the age of 42. I'm 63 now. And I never thought about down the road what life would be like, except for now. I'm thinking, well, my wife and I are empty nesters. And God, we're seniors ourselves. We talk about, oh, look at that old guy. He's same age as us. It's quite funny as we all age. And, you know, I get together with my classmates every so often and we talk about this all the time. And it's, what's really weird too is when my classmates, I went to MidPack, it's a dorming school. And we talk about, oh, wow, the grandparents are ready. I said, what? Their grandparents are ready? That's for old people. So it's very interesting how life transpires. And yes, we're all going to pass away. We're all going to get older, guys. You know, mark my words, we will all get older. And something that we need to navigate through life as something that, you know, as we age, everything's going to happen. So today, guys, we're with Dr. Borman here. We're going to talk about different topics on aging, specifically today, because we're going to bring her back on in a couple of weeks. Today about hearing and also about driving safety. So let's see, which topic is more important? Let's talk about driving safety because when I go to a client's house, I look at the car, see if there's any dents, dings, and almost all the time, if they're over the age of 75, 80, there usually is one. My father was driving a lot at 94, and we found a lot of dings on his car. But when it comes to driver safety, you know, I know Sitting County, a lot of places on the mainland, they limit or they once you get past the 75, 80 years old, they have to renew their license every year or every other year. Because, guys, it's not a right. It's really, I think it's more of a privilege to be able to drive a car. What do you say to that?
Well, it's certainly not a right. It's not written into the Constitution that we're all able to drive as long as we feel like it. Yeah. And many people realize, well, yeah, if you can't see well, that's a good reason why we shouldn't let blind people have driver's licenses. And we're used to the idea, well, if you have seizures that are uncontrolled and you're going to have, we don't know if you're going to have another seizure, those people shouldn't be on the road. But there's very, very many different things that can impair our ability to drive safely. And that's what we want to hone in on today, Percy.
And that's something I think, you know, it's they have a really big responsibility to be able to drive on the streets. I'll tell you, in Boston, they don't use the turn signals very often. You have to navigate. They call these rotary intersections. It's like a roundabout, but much, much bigger, like in Paris, where the roundabout is like, you know, 100 yards where you got to navigate. And there's no lines in the street. So you got to kind of like navigate. Then the GPS will tell you, okay, take the first right, second right, third right. You have to count them along the way while you're trying to navigate and dodge cars in front of you, on the right of you, on the left of you. It's quite a. I got good after a while, but some of these cars, man, it's a little bit dangerous. But and I know ARP and AAA has programs where they can do car fit testing and things like that. But how important is what kind of car they drive, and do a lot of seniors make sure their car registration and insurance is up to date?
Well, certainly that's what's required to be legal on the road. What we sometimes see is that the kahuna's car is just as old as they are.
Yeah.
Or conversely, they've got a brand new car, but they have not kept up with how to use it. You know, the new cars are kind of as sophisticated as rockets, and this button and that feature and another. It's not like your, you know, 1958 Ford.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And just to take the time to get it registered, take the time to get the safety check, making sure a driver's license is upkept, it's a chore to a lot of extent. And a lot of times it involves the kids, doesn't it?
Sometimes the kids need to be empowered also to help. And to be our extra eyes as to how a driving career is going.
And, you know, the kids have to step up. They have to be able to drive mom or dad or have them go with the dad. I recommend everybody drive with their parent. I let them parent drive and you check them out, you know, every year at least to see how their driving is and the turning skills and whether they can turn their neck to see the left or the right. That's another thing I noticed in one of the driver's safety test for seniors, whether they can turn and have the mobility to be able to look to the left and look to the right. And they're, you know, every year, you know, in front of the stores, the lady or the man pushes the wrong pedal and it goes right through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sad.
Or right into the crowd.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. But I think, you know, how important is it? I mean, you tell me. Isn't the real reason why a lot of people, seniors at our kahuna drive is because they don't want to lose the independence?
Well, that's the big issue. You know, America is the land of the free, and independence is a very strong part of our background and roots. And independence comes with responsibilities. And there's just so much in aging that changes. And there can be normal changes of aging, like you mentioned, the musculoskeletal system and having the range of motion of our neck, the range of motion of our shoulders, our ability to rapidly move our feet from pedal to pedal. All of those make a difference.
But also,
we also have to consider in aging diseases. There are diseases that occur as we age that can definitely impact driving. And I also want families and patients to always think about medications. You know, we have a lot of medication choices, treatment choices in our current medical world, but they're not always associated with safety on the road.
And I know I was talking to a geriatrician that was came to Kuakini to study Hawaii's aging about 10, 12 years ago. And he was here for 6 months. And he was telling me one day that in Japan, he goes, Mr. Ihara, in Japan, every single day in Japan, a senior that has dementia gets into a car accident. I said, really? Uh-huh. He goes, yes. And it's independence. And a lot of times the children, you know, they graduate college and go off into the world and don't come back very often. And that senior has to be able to, you know, navigate going to the store, going to the doctor's office by themselves. And so that there's some consequences, ladies and gentlemen, if you're, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are in the 70s or younger, some of them a little older, but a lot of them take care of their parents. That's why they listen to the show, is that you really have to take it, add on your responsibility to your bucket list of taking care of your parents to make sure mm-hmm. the driving. Because I know many, many years ago, I saw a story in a newspaper where a lady went to go pick up her girlfriend at a house in Pearl City, and this house had a front gate, and lady pushed the wrong pedal, hit the gate, knocked the gate down, and lady on the other, her good friend on the other side of the fence fell backward and died. I know in Kaneohe, several years ago, I believe it was near Christmas time, a senior hit another senior that was in a crosswalk, and the two families knew each other. Very, very sad. So I always caution people about driver safety. It is a huge, huge problem. Hawaii still is one of the worst for pedestrian safety. We have more pedestrians per capita die in a crosswalk on the streets than any other state in the country. And it's something that I think we all need to take it to heart. But when it comes, you mentioned medication. What can a family or a senior do if they're taking medications and they're going to be driving? What cautionary things should they do?
Well, the first step would be, what is the medicine? Is it active in the brain? Can it cause sedation? Can it change someone's focus and concentration? These are elements that would be very important in driving safely. Medications don't always mix and match with one another well. And this is a role I often play in geriatrics, is just the pharmacology review. What medicines are you taking? Why are you on this medicine? Do you actually need it? And is the dosage appropriate for you? Unfortunately, it's much quicker for doctors to start a medicine than to counsel that it's time to stop a medicine. And, you know, I've cared for people, they have 25 medicines on their list.
Oh. Oh,
holy moly, how can you keep that straight?
Wow. I thought 10 was a lot. 25.
I
hate to laugh about it, but guys, hey, talk to your geriatrician. Maybe we'll give you Dr. Borman's contact information later on. But so here's a common, you know, I spoke at a group in Kapolei out in the west side a few months ago, and one was there. I think the lady was like 68, and I think her mom was still alive in her 90s. And she said, how do I get my mother to stop driving? She shouldn't be driving. How do we get that conversation going?
Well,
call Dr. Borman.
Yes. The first step, it's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're raised to honor and cherish our parents and seniors, but there's a shift, a frame shift that we have to protect them too. And that's part of the Driving Safely program. So I like the idea that you already shared. Let's be a passenger in the car for mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the car. Are there lots of dings and dents and little things? And then maybe talk to your parent. Gee, I noticed, you know, there's a bunch of dents in the car. What happened? If they can't recall what happened, you're in a red flag zone. So the important thing is bringing it up, and it is sensitive. I can remember driving with my father-in-law, and out of the blue, I wasn't talking, I wasn't saying anything, and he said, don't ever question my ability to drive.
I laugh about that. Really?
Ooh.
Wow. And so what did you do?
Well, I didn't bring it up then.
You didn't take over the driving wheel?
Yeah, the important thing is the drivers themselves, our kapuna, do not recognize the decline in their driving skills. It's true. They don't realize it. You know, inside they internalize this young, healthy buck or, you know, a beautiful young woman. That's who they really are. They're not that old person.
Right.
And they just do not recognize it. And that's the importance of family stepping up or doctors stepping up and saying, hey, driver safety is really important.
Well, I think a lot of it could be, too, it's a denial. Or I've had clients tell me, Percy, if I don't drive, my girlfriends won't get around. I'm the driver for all my three other girlfriends, and I'm the only one that drives. I have to drive. Hey, wow, okay. Still yet, it is. You don't want to get in a car accident and where your girlfriends get injured in your car accident. So all I ask my clients is just to, you know, get a review, talk to somebody, and really do a driver's test to make sure they're okay with driving. And it's just something I would hate to see something happen to them. So that's why I tell these horror stories to seniors, because it does happen out quite a bit, especially when it happened recently, three months ago at that store in Waihua with a restaurant, and it showed on video camera where the ladies were sitting in front of the diner, and a car just missed them. It hit the front of the glass of the store, and the people were sitting right there. It just missed them, though. Thank goodness. But those kind of things, I think media needs to point that out, not criticize them to the point, but just give them tips like
the
this.
Reality.
Yeah, the reality that it is dangerous. And I know they have to get tested more frequently as they get older. I think past the age of 80 or 75 or 80, but it's just important, guys out there. Be safe out there. And it just, and unfortunately, we're all going to get older, but driver safety is very, very important. You mentioned medications. When somebody's taking 10 medications, I do recommend them having the medications, talk to a pharmacist or talk to their doctor about what does it do for them? Is it current? And does it conflict with any other medications they're taking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. You know, when we talk about the facts, there's in 2019, 8,500 deaths were caused by kapuna drivers.
How many?
8,500 deaths.
Wow, I never heard that figure. That's scary.
And car crashes are the leading cause of accidental death in the elderly.
Wow.
And 61% of our kapuna involved in car accidents will die from their injuries.
Wow. You're scaring me now, Dr. Bortman. Wow. Guys, those are scary figures.
So what are the warning signs? You know, I hear time and time again, well, I'm driving, but I don't drive at night, or I only go to the market or my church or the other. And the truth is that the statistics show that by the time someone is self-restricting their driving circumstances, they're already at a fivefold increased risk of accident.
Wow. Fivefold.
Five times as likely.
Wow. That's
another warning sign would be the inability to maintain an even speed. You may have been behind someone on the street and it's like, oh, they're going so slow. And now they've sped up, but now they're going slow again. This is about concentration and focus. Which need to be very sharp for driving. You mentioned the rotaries that can be so confusing.
Uh-huh.
Not staying in the correct lane,
uh-huh.
Turning from the wrong lane. Those are all warnings that your driving skills are getting weaker. Depth perception changes with aging, and difficulty with parking, hitting stationary objects, these are warning signs. Hey, this, all is not good in your driving history now. Certainly accidents are traffic tickets. After my mother-in-law died, we were going through her paperwork and such, and she had a car accident hitting a pediatric young child on the road and was cited for that, and yet never told us that she'd had an accident.
Oh, my goodness. So, guys, these are real stories out here, and it does happen. And, you know, it's just scary to find out you might hit somebody you know or cause a death in a family. Dr. Berman, that was a quick half hour of the show. And we can talk all day long about driving. But, guys, when we come back, another big topic. We're going to talk about hearing loss. And as you get older, here with Dr. Berman, geriatrician here. And the name of the new entity you guys created, which we'll talk about next time. But the new name of the company is?
My Care Plus.
My Care Plus. And we'll talk briefly about that a little bit later on. Come back, guys. We'll take a short break.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It is free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117, NMLS 582-944.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host. As you know, every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. And don't forget, generations808.com. You can listen to all our past shows, including this one, in about a week. And also, you can go on your Spectrum TV at Sunday, 8 a.m. in the morning, and go on your Spectrum TV 883. If anybody knows what if the Hawaiian Tower has that, please let me know or text me. You can always reach me at 808-234-3117. Leave me a detailed message, voice message, or you can text me if you have any topics or stories you want to hear about, if you need any resources. I do speaking engagements for different groups and retiree clubs and associations. I do a lot of trainings on aging, let alone the reverse mortgage. I train a lot of business professionals on how to talk to seniors on all the different aspects of aging. My specialty is obviously mortgages, but we are starting, by the way, our Realities of Aging, or restarting our Realities of Aging workshops at the Big City Diner. So thanks to Lane over at Big City Diner. They're going to be hosting us three times a month at the Big City Diner around the island. September 27th is in Waipio, Big City Diner, 8:30. The morning sessions are 8:30 to 11:30. The afternoon sessions are from 2 to 5. So September 27th is Big City Diner in Waipio, 8:30 to 11:30. October 4th will be Big City Diner in Kamiki. They'll be in the afternoon because Kamiki doesn't serve breakfast. And October 11th will be Big City Diner in Kaneohe again, 8:30, 11:30. And then Waipio again, October 25th. So check out the magazine, generations808.com. You'll check them all out there. And also in the September-October issue, featuring the ladies from Beta Beta Gamma Sorority at University of Hawaii, the old and new sorority sisters. And thanks to all the ladies who helped us with this cover story. It was fantastic. And it's a great read, guys. It's the longest running sorority in the state of Hawaii at the University of Hawaii, and it's still going on. So check out it's a really good read. So anyway, this morning we have Dr. Borman, a board-certified doctor with MyCare Plus. Is that correct, Dr. Borman?
Yes, MyCare Plus.
And are you able to give a brief synopsis of what, when I first saw this at our Aging in Place workshop, like, wow, that's a really interesting concept. Can you talk about briefly about the concept?
Well, our concept for care is that it should be simple and easy. And a lot of our care comes to you, as in medical home visits. We practice in several of the assisted living and nursing homes in our area.
Mm-hmm.
We see seniors who are too old and frail to leave their house by going to where they put their head on the pillow. The other idea about reaching out and meeting people where they are is that we're increasing a focus on telemedicine, where as long as you have a computer or a smartphone that can do simultaneous video, we can see you wherever you are and talk with the provider. We have nurse practitioners, we have physicians, and MyCare Plus, we're targeting primary care for adults. We don't handle any Kiki yet, and geriatrics. So we have geriatric providers, we have family medicine and internal medicine providers that you can now get everything online. You can watch videos about the providers. You can schedule your own appointment online. You can register online. And so we're trying to make it quick and easy.
Yeah, that's really important. So guys, yeah, is there a phone number or a website they can go to? Because I know a lot of times for our clients, they're dealing, and our listeners, they're dealing with their parents. And so a lot of the baby boomers are younger, are very tech savvy. What's the best place to reach you guys at?
Well, our website is MyCare, MyCare+.org.
.org is a thing.
MyCarePlus.org.
And that's really, guys, I think for a lot of us, guys, I'm a baby boomer, I'm 63, dealing with your parents, it's so much easier to have it on your smartphone or your parents' laptop or your laptop. Telemedicine, to me, is definitely, we've been doing it for a while, but it is the future. It's interesting how we've been talking about this for a long time, actually, and it's here now. But I mean, it's so common today. I hate to tell you this, but I personally like to go to the doctor because I want to look him in his face when he tells me I need this. But it's for a lot of families that's not possible, right? They have to have somebody come in. So I give you a lot of credit. I give you a lot of credit for going on the road, but it really is such a big need, and it's a great service, Dr. Borm. When I first heard about it, I was like, wow, this is really good. So I have a lot of clients to refer to you guys. But guys, we're here today talking about, with Dr. Borman here from MyCare Plus, talking about aging issues. And so the first half, we'll talk about driver safety. And guys, make sure you go with your parent or yourself to a doctor, get your eyes checked, get your medications reviewed. Talk to a geriatrician. I recommend everybody have a geriatrician as you get older. When that ages, it's really up to you and your health, depending on your health. But I think it's really, really important to seek out a geriatrician. I know they're all very busy in town. We're the oldest state in the country. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Sarah Locke, the senior VP with AARP, and she's on. I don't know if you got a chance to meet her, Dr. Borman, but Sarah spoke at our Aging in Place workshop last month. And, you know, it's just how Hawaii is the oldest state in the country. And so we have actually more clients and patients and seniors that have dementia. And dementia affects all types of issues regarding your brain health and neurology, but can you give our audience a basic session on what dementia is? Because people get mixed up with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Well, I like to people to know that dementia is a generic term for neurologic diseases that cause a loss of brain abilities. And Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia. So Alzheimer's disease is a dementia. 70% of people with dementia have dementia of the Alzheimer's type. And then there are a lot of other causes of dementia. And rather than distinguishing each different type, getting evaluated to know if what's happening represents dementia is, of course, the important first step. And then what do we do after the diagnosis? And that's where my work comes in. People live with this disease. Families live with this disease. Communities live with this disease that can go on for 8, 9, 10, 12 years for a person. That's a long time of needing help and support.
And while my aunt has had it for 21 years.
Oh.
Yeah. I was talking to Sarah Locke from ARP on our radio show, and she said she knew somebody had it for 26 years. I called, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I've counseled many families that I call this a family disease, because once they get diagnosed, the whole family has to step up. And it's just a long-term disease. It breaks families apart. It tests everybody's will, and as you know, as a caregiver, it's very hard and difficult to deal with when it's such a long time. I mean, 20 plus years, 10 plus years is a long time. Both my neighbors had it for, 5, 6, 8 years. It's unfortunate, but that's just the reality of dementia. So anyway, okay, as a geriatrician, hearing loss, how common is hearing loss with our seniors?
Well, 1/3 of our population displays hearing loss by age 65, and 65. It increases with each decade of life.
I'm 63, you know. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have hearing issues. I have a little bit already. I tell my wife it's selective amnesia when she's talking to me. But I try to listen as much as possible. But I try to let her know that, honey, I didn't hear that clearly. Or can you repeat that for me? Because, you know, back in the day, I heard this story about back in the day when everybody had those boom boxes and then the Walkman, to hear headphones. Uh-huh. I used to listen to a lot of loud music. And I know when I used to work out, when you work out, I guess it amplifies the volume that you're listening to and it can cause more damage. And so I know I did that a lot when I was younger, so I truly believe I'm going to have hearing issues down the road, and my wife would probably validate that.
And there's lots of occupations that are associated with the increased risk of hearing loss. Anyone who works with loud machinery, so we have all the carpenters, the people who use electric saws, all those kind of noises, and of course here in Hawaii, oh my gosh, all the landscapers. I don't see any of those folks wearing hearing protection, so I know they're going to be with me pretty soon.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys around town. So what is it really doing to your ear? Is it just overuse or just too much loud music at a constant time frame that if it just wears out your hearing? Explain to me the tiny ear bones inside your ear. Yeah. How does that work?
So there's three parts of hearing that are all equally important. The three tiniest bones in our body have to do with converting sound waves into nerve impulses. And these tiny ear bones, they wear out. They absorb calcium. They get arthritic, and they don't move correctly. So that's conduction, one element of hearing loss. The second phase of hearing is what we call processing. So once the sound waves are converted into neural input, that has to go into our brain and be recognized. Is it language? Is it a loud pop? Was that a gunshot? So processing is very important. And another part of hearing that's maybe underappreciated is that there's a very complex connection between hearing and vision called vestibular function. And this tells us where our body is in space. Are we standing up? Are we sitting down? Are we on an even surface? Are we not on an even surface? And when hearing loss occurs, you are not having the same balance and coordination that you used to have. And that's why we see such difficulty with falls and accidents that occur from people not being steady on their feet.
Interesting. Never thought about that. Okay. So as we get older, and depending on kind of occupation, or if you listen to loud music like I did with the Walkman back in the, I think it was the '80s when it first came out, how does hearing loss progress?
So the earliest changes of hearing loss are the loss of high frequency sounds. So if we look at our ladies who might have a high tone to their voice, that's what goes first. And when you're trying to reach people, communicate with people with hearing, if you can just lower your register, rather than talking at a high decibel, that can really help. So loss of high frequency sounds, sounds become muffled or slurred. It's hard to tell a vowel from a consonant. It's hard to tell the consonants apart. And this just creates, it just blocks effective communication, which has a lot of impact.
That's interesting. I never heard about that. Does dementia or Alzheimer's, can it cause hearing loss?
Oh, that's a great question. When people have hearing loss and they don't work to reverse it, the hearing loss actually causes death of brain cells. So it's not that dementia contributes to hearing loss, but hearing loss contributes to dementia.
And I
would like everyone to know this because we see, oh, I don't have a hearing problem. Oh, I don't need to wear my hearing aid. You are hurting your brain the longer you go without paying attention to correcting hearing loss.
So hearing loss can cause dementia. Is that what you're saying?
Contributes, yes.
Oh, I never heard about that. Never thought about that. If you think about that, it makes a lot of sense. So guys, so what should they do? Get normal checkups?
Well, your family's probably going to notice first.
Or
your
wife.
Not hearing me. I'm tired of repeating myself.
Yeah.
So misunderstandings in social interactions or with our family. Hearing loss can lead to isolation. They may feel ashamed or confused or avoid crowds because they're not able to keep up with the conversation.
Right.
Hearing loss contributes to accidents.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't hear a car crash to get out of the way.
Yep.
They didn't hear the siren to know that something, some kind of warning was going on.
Absolutely. I think next thing we got to talk about is dentures and teeth, because I know a lot of times they don't want to go out because they need to fix their teeth and they don't want to open their mouth. They don't want to talk. And it's just, those are the kind of things. But yeah, it causes so much isolation. I know one day I have a single level home. I have these windows in the front of the walkway that leads to my living room. And my parents, when my son was young, this many years ago, my parents would once in a while help out. If I had to go do something, they'll come over to the house and watch my son when he was like 17, 16 years ago when he was little. And one day I came home and from my garage, walking to my front door, the TV is just blasting loud. Like, wow, that's really loud. I go in the house, my dad's sitting right next to the TV. I say, hey, it's kind of loud. You're sitting so close, you know, because he had a hard time hearing. And for men, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, for men, they don't want to wear hearing aids. You know, isn't that true? A lot of ego they got involved there. They don't want to wear hearing aids.
Well, some of it's ego. Some of it's that hearing aids don't create perfect hearing. They help, but it's not the same as when we have young, healthy ears.
Mm-hmm.
And so for many people, it's like it's not good enough. They don't like it. The other difficulty with hearing aids is one-on-one, if you're having a conversation with one person, they're very, very helpful. But hearing aids amplify every sound. So when you're out in a restaurant or you're out in a free market and there's lots of people talking, mm-hmm. they're all garbled up. They're all louder, but it doesn't help you distinguish.
Mm. That's a good point.
You know, the hearing aids have gotten smaller and smaller. So that, you know, the excuse, well, I look different. I don't want to, you know, be different. I don't want to admit that I'm older. That's kind of not holding true anymore because they mm-hmm. just disappear into your ears. Nobody even knows if you have them in.
I know. They're so good today. In fact, I golf with a bunch of seniors once a week. And I was really surprised my friend was wearing a hearing aid. And I was just shocked to see that because he's not that old, but old enough where I guess he needs hearing aids. But uh-huh. I golfed with him for several years. Only recently did I see him wearing hearing aids. Like, dang, these are really good. If I can't uh-huh. see them, and I'm pretty observant, you know, I can imagine how other people think. But, yeah, it's just the hearing aids are so good. And it's so important that people take advantage of these technology today. It's fantastic. In fact, I have a client that got the cochlear implant. He's right. almost totally deaf, and through the VA, he got the cochlear hearing aid. And he can hear pretty well now. And so I asked him, I said, Joe, you got it from VA? Did it cost you anything? He goes, no, it was totally free. But he goes, you know how much this thing actually costs if you don't have insurance or like the VA? $60,000. I said, wow, that's amazing. So hats off to the VA, what they're doing out there. So what can people do to improve hearing? Just not only from hearing aids, but what else can they do?
Well, there's many adaptions that we can focus on to help people hear, even though their hearing is declining. One is to reduce ambient noise. If the TV's on and the music's blaring, they're not going to hear as well as if the room is quieter. It's also very important to face the person that you're speaking to. We naturally train ourselves to lip read. And if you're hollering from the other room, they don't have the advantage of lip reading, so that ability to see someone face to face. This was a really terrible hazard and comorbidity with COVID. We all have to wear masks.
Right.
And the people with hearing loss couldn't lip read. It was really, really difficult in my business.
Oh, I can imagine.
It's helpful to speak slow and to lower the tone of your voice. Don't yell at people. That's embarrassing for them and for you.
Yeah.
And probably most important, if you can't hear, if your family says, you're not hearing me, is go and get checked.
Yeah.
Start with your primary care provider. They can do some simple hearing tests. They can look in your ear and see, maybe you just got gobs of wax in there. That used to be one of my favorite visits in family medicine. Somebody comes in terrified that they're going deaf. And I look in there, there's a big glob of wax. And I remove the glob of wax. And I'm a hero.
Wow.
I fix them in one visit.
But that's so true. They don't, their personal hygiene, you know, they don't take care of themselves, you know.
Right. And your primary doctor may say, yeah, it is time to go the official route to see an audiologist who measures how severe the loss is. And they check each ear because sometimes it's symmetrical. Both ears are losing hearing. And sometimes one ear is really bad and the other ear is not so bad. If the changes in your hearing don't follow the typical pathways for loss of hearing with aging, it could be important to go see an ENT specialist.
Ear, nose, and throat.
Because there are some certain serious things that can cause hearing loss on one side, not the other, that you need a specialist.
Yeah, that's so important. I know because I had to go to ENT when I was young. I got hit in the eye with a boomerang when I was 8 years old. Yeah. And a lot of people remember the Checkers and Pogo show. If you grew up here, I was on a show and played a game. At the end of the game, they say, okay, go in this room. There's a bunch of toys there. Pick one toy. And true story. And I went in the room and I looked around. He goes, oh, what is that way up on top there? He goes, it's a boomerang. Oh, what do you do with it? You throw it. I want that. And next day I'm throwing it. And my neighbor threw it to me. I was trying to catch it with my baseball glove and I missed it. It hit me in the eye. And so, yeah, I had to go to the mainland for a surgery on my eye. I'm legally blind without my contact lens, believe it or not. But anyway, that's another story. But Dr. Borman, any last words of tips that people could have or in terms of as they get older? Because I definitely want to check your schedule again to make you have come back, talk about specifically dementia and how to identify dementia, how to get diagnosed, how to navigate the family and everything. But any last tips to our family listeners out there?
Well, just my final tips about hearing loss is don't miss out. If you can't hear your friends, your family, the environment, you're missing out. Don't delay in getting assessed and getting treatment because you're hurting your brain if you delay getting help for your hearing loss. And hearing improves the quality of our life and the quality of our interactions. So don't miss out.
Good tip there. It's really, you know, as we age, you know, I tell people this is the best time in our lives. And a lot of times they don't think that. And it really is. It can be. But it's a good tip. So one last tip before we hang up here.
I'm going to make a plug for geriatricians.
Okay.
Even though there's not enough of us to go around. There's two ways that a geriatrician can help you. Some of them provide primary care and start to care for all of your needs. But you can also visit a geriatrician as a consultation. And that means you continue with the good relationship you have with your current primary care provider, but you can meet with a geriatrician and that doctor can make recommendations for your own doctor with the vision of a geriatrician. So it kind of lets our skills go a little bit further. We can educate primary care doctors to do their best with the changes that are common in aging. So I guess that's my closer.
No, that's really good. And I can say I always encourage my clients to seek out a geriatrician, be patient because not a whole lot of them out there. Most of them are super busy. But I really thank you for your time, Dr. Borman. So guys, mycareplus.org, just Google it. I don't know how it's mycareplus.org. I think that's what it is. But just Google them. If you need more information, they're in the magazine. Otherwise, text me and I get you the information. So, Dr. Borman, thank you so much for your time, and I will check with your assistant and get you on the schedule for a special session specifically on dementia and Alzheimer's. So, you have a great week. You take care.
Thank you, guys.
Check it out. Tell your friends if you're dealing with this issue. Tell your friends to go online and listen to the show, because it's so valuable. And I thank Dr. Barman so much, everybody. So anyway, as always, everyone, have a great weekend, and aloha, and live well.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It's free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117, NMLS 582-944.